kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I'd like to share today a message I believe the Lord has given, and as usual I have a title that we will consider today, and we're calling our teaching Christ's Power for My Rest. Christ's Power for My Rest. And I'm basing this from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." That the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that is why I'm calling our teaching today, Christ's Power for My Rest. Father, may these words become reality. May they bear fruit for your glory. For we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Christ's Power for My Rest. Now, we've all read this many times, and we are aware in the context of what the apostle is saying here, and he gives it away in verse 7, the key and understanding of what is going on with him and what he's experiencing. And it says in verse 7, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan buffets me, lest I be exalted above measure." And then he goes on that he sought the Lord three times about this, and God said, "My grace is sufficient." Let's just remind ourselves that this is not speaking of physical healing needed, or he's losing his eyesight that so many want to interpret. It is quite clear in verse 7 what is happening. He's a man who is very unusual. Very, very few ever have a calling like this upon their lives. And because of the revelation that he's receiving from God, of which most we read here in the New Testament, his writings that are still applicable today, that we are blessed by, little did he realize that down through the corridors of time, thousands of years, his writings would still be blessing us, would still give us revelation and hope in this calling. And of course, the enemy is aware of what God is doing through this man. And so God allows him to be buffeted, and much of his buffeting was the trials and tribulations that he went through. Very few go through what he went through with regard to trial, persecutions, rejections, beatings, imprisonments, and it goes on. Probably most of us would never stand that and we would go back. But he stood it. And do you know why he stood it and how he stood it? Because he began to experience the power of Christ in him. He began to realize and experience that they are actually attacking the one who resides, dwells, and lives in me. And this is there, brothers and sisters, for our edification, for our building up in the faith. That we too, with whatever we go through, draw from this strength, this rest. And this is why I'm calling this teaching Christ's Power for My Rest. And this is why the apostle could go that extra mile, because he was experiencing this rest. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And we are weak. We are weak in body. We are weak in mind, mentally. And we have to be strengthened. That is what sin has done. This is what a fallen world and environment that we live in has done. And this is why we say so often, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this is what he's experiencing. And it's interesting how God always works the opposite to logic and feeling. God will always work opposite to your emotions, to your feelings, to your carnal understanding, the things of the flesh, everything about us. God works the opposite. And this is why it makes this walk so supernatural, miraculous. No other religions can appeal to this, because they are striving to be good in their own flesh and their own strength and ability and intellect. And God works completely the opposite. How can the Lord work his rest in trial and overcoming? And that is what I want us to consider today. We're all very aware of our trials and our tribulations. We are all very aware of the overcoming life and walk. That's why we call ourselves overcomers. But we need to come back and remind ourselves just what God is doing in and through us to be able to walk this walk. Because we are very aware of what is happening now on the earth. How we are seeing the great falling away. How the powers of darkness are trying to wear out the saints. And this is one of the attacks that I believe the powers of darkness are doing. They are constantly trying to wear us out with the negative. All that we hear and see that's going on about us or in our families or at work or whatever it is. We are bombarded each day by what is happening in the world. What people are going through. We hear so many negative and bad reports. We don't want to listen to the news because it's so negative and so on. And yet, God is bringing us into his rest, is he not? And this is our overcoming. I don't believe that any generation of believers have actually experienced what we now are experiencing in these last days. They were aware, they thought they were in the last days. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, encouraging them, because they were seeing saints were dying, and a few were left, and they were asking, well, when is the Lord coming, and so on. And so, of course, he gives us the encouragement there to hang on and wait, because the Lord will come in the clouds. There will be a rapture. He will come. And here we are, nearly 2,000 years from that, and we're still waiting. But the difference being is that we are seeing global issues. It's all global now. And that, of course, is what the New World Order is about. It's about globalization. And the spirit of this age is trying to wear the saints out, whether it's spiritually, emotionally, faith, or whatever it would be. We are experiencing strong demonic forces that the world has not known before. And we will see what will come out of the pit in these last days. You only have to read the book of Revelation. So God has to preserve his remnant. He has to provide for this remnant. And here is one of the keys and the understandings of this. Christ's power for my rest. Your rest is absolutely essential for this walk of overcoming. Now we know in Genesis 2 and verse 2 that God rested on the seventh day after creation. In other words, he rested so that he could stand back and look at what he had done for his glory. And you see, this rest is always for God's glory. And God is working this spiritual rest in us, because this rest enables us to see the glory of God, the bigness of God, the mightiness of God. This rest enables us to be able to see God, who's a God of miracles, that he's able to create out of nothing. And you cannot really appreciate this unless this rest is being worked in you and through you, and certainly in the mind. As we're only ever going to understand these great doctrines from an academic point of view. And that's not enough. We have to enter into the reality and blessings of the Word of God and the promises of God's Word. It has to become real to us. And the way that that is achieved is experiencing that rest, that peace with God. And so as God rested on that seventh day, and he was able to view and look and behold all that he created, so it is the same for us. And this is what keeps our eyes upon the Lord 24/7. And this is why I believe the Lord has worked this in the area of faith. Because faith gives us Christ's rest. And this is why God made no mistake in giving us the faith teaching over the years. I'm talking of a total faith, a total trust, because it brings us into this rest. It gives us Christ's rest. And that is what is so important, you see. It's Christ's rest in my life, because he rests, he's overcome, he's triumphed, he now sits at the right hand of the Father, and now gives us power and blessing through him. But we need to learn how to experience this, and that's the question. Well, turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 11 and verses 28 to 29. Again, you know these verses well. But Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Listen to what he's saying here. He's saying, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He's talking about, I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Now, this rest that it speaks about here is to refresh, to take ease. It's like when we take rest when we sit down or when we sleep. And this is the Greek word anapaol, anapaol. And it means that I'm resting. It's a physical rest. It's a sleep. And it's also healing. Because when we rest, when we sleep, we are being healed. We are being restored. Our minds, our brains are being reorganized. And so this is what he says. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. So this is why we see him not only as our rest, but he comes as our healing, our deliverance, wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. And so this is very important for us to experience and understand Christ's power for my rest. And that is why the apostle was able to continue in his ministry, even his beatings and stonings, which they thought he was dead. But he got up and carried on. Why? Because he was aware of Christ in his life, that rest, that peace that comes with healing, protection, and so on. And this is what we need to draw from, brothers and sisters. The word of God is no good to you unless you hear it by faith, in order for Christ's power and rest in my life, because he comes as healing in his wings. This anointed word that you sit under, the deeper life teaching that you sit under, must come as healing to you, else it's not going to do you any good. It's just going to be another meeting, more words, promises, teaching, unless the life in the word is ministered to you, it will avail to nothing. Why am I stressing this so much? Because of what we are facing. The powers of darkness are trying to wear out the overcomers. And he does a lot of it, the attacks in the mind. And here we are. He says, come to me. That's not rocket science. He's saying, come to me. I'm not stopping you. You have access. Come. All who labor are heavy laden. Have you labored? Have you been heavy laden this week? Have you been under attack? Have you experienced things? Of course you have. And he says, come. He always says, come. And I give you that rest that is found in me. But we don't, do we? We want to be in control. We want to work it out. We've got all the answers. And we haven't. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. In other words, he says, let me take over you, your life. Let my rest become a reality to you, because you need it. You are going to experience this in the trials and tribulations. And that's why I've given you this Greek understanding, this word. Because it's healing. It's taking that rest, like when we sleep or we sit or we go on a vacation. It's a time of refreshing. And this is what he does to us through the new birth, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, let's go back to what we're talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And let's look now at this rest that he speaks of, because there are several rests in the Greek. And so let's remind ourselves. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So he's saying, in his weaknesses, in his persecutions, imprisonments, stonings, rejections, yes, at times feeling physically tired, Christ may rest upon me. Now, this rest is speaking about to live in a house or a tent. This is where we get the idea that God tabernacles with man. And this is the Greek word episkano, and it means the power of God residing in one, to live in a house. And the house, of course, being you, being me. So there, the apostle, that is what he's speaking about. He is saying the power of God lives in this house. It lives in my flesh, my body. And because he lives in me, the power of God, dunamis, there is that power, dunamis. This is where we get the understanding of dynamite, explosive. He says, that lives in me. And that is why my flesh is able to carry on and go that extra mile. He's very aware what God is revealing to him. Remember, he's getting these revelations, illuminations in the word. He's experiencing this. This is why so much of his writings are so powerful, because they come out of experience. It's supernatural. And this is what the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, does to us. This is why we're called overcomers. This is why we're hid in the womb, Revelation 12, to come forth in the last days. Not just to come forth any old how, but to come forth with revelation, power, understanding, experience of Almighty God. That is why you are sons of God. You see, our walk daily must have this working in us, and faith is the key. Simply believing. That's all he asks. He said back in Matthew 11, 28, come to me. And that's all he asks. He asks us to believe. And on that basis, he will build. You can't do it. I can't do it. But it's as we yield over and do it his way and stop resisting God in our lives. How do we resist him? Well, I'm tired, then pray. Oh, I'm hungry, then fast. I need to have a break, get out and minister. That's how it works. It's God doing the opposite to feelings, emotions, what the body is saying. That is the power of God working in your life through weakness, making you strong. As I said at the beginning, the opening of this, he works exactly opposite to how we feel, what we see, what we're going on, our emotions or whatever, because all of those things pass away. They're not really real in that sense. He's showing us what is real and what is eternal in our lives. And it takes such a long time, doesn't it? Because we can still be so trapped in ourselves. What I want to do. I want my own way. And we're wrestling with God. And sometimes we don't realize what we're doing. It's a letting go. And faith is the key. And this is why we bring it up so many times. You see, our faith opens up to what is in heaven. And that is the key to this, as we believe upon these promises and don't question or fall out with them or with God. It then opens the resources of heaven on your behalf. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've been speaking about this for the last few weeks because faith is the key. It opens up. And what it also opens up is Christ's power for my rest. That's what it's opening up. Don't try and work it out. Don't try and work out how God is going to give you that rest. In a storm or in a turmoil or whatever's going on, he will. And he does. And it will be have to be God's rest to overcome as wise virgins. And there is the extra oil in the vessel and the lamps. That is that oil to overcome, to endure to the end. Until when Christ comes for us, and he will, and he is. Now, we mustn't confuse rest with peace. You see, I'm at peace with God, which produces this rest. You have to be first at peace with God and not an enemy. And that comes through the new birth. That comes by being reconciled to God. But it doesn't stop there. There are other virtues and blessings that come through our salvation. And one of which is so important, this rest. So don't confuse it with peace. You see, the peace of God is when you are right with him. Now, I believe peace needs rest and rest needs peace. They work in a sense, they're complementary, but we mustn't get them confused. The reason I'm saying this is because we live in such a restless society and world. We're living in absolute turmoil. People are in a turmoil. Worry, anxiety, fear, all increasing. And this tries to wear the saints of God out. And as I've said many, many times over the years, that we are like spiritual batteries. We get low and we have to be recharged. Now, this, of course, is one of the ways that we get recharged is by coming together for fellowship. Coming together, getting under the word, the anointing, so that we can be spiritually recharged. Remember I said that Christ comes to us as healing. And so here it is. We receive healing through this word, this teaching, the revelation of it. It's healing to us. Like these batteries that need to be charged up. You need to have sleep. The word of God's quite clear. God gives his beloved sleep. Why is sleep important? Because it's healing. So much is happening with the human body when we sleep. And we all know what it's like if you go through a period where you're not sleeping very well. Or you have a restless night, you just feel under par. You feel a bit vulnerable, weak. And you can get a bit crotchety and so on. And the enemy's having a field day in the mind. It's because we're not sleeping. And the batteries need to get recharged. Both physically and spiritually. Because you are a spiritual being. You are both physical and spiritual. And you have to put the spiritual first. Now you're born again as a believer. And a lot of Christians put it round the wrong way. They're more interested about their sleep, their physical side. No, it's the spiritual first. You get the spiritual right and you'll get the physical right. This is not rocket science. In fact, it's so easy, that's why we get it wrong. And so this rest is also connected with physical rest and sleep. And the apostle's very aware of that. Even though he's going that extra mile, even though he goes through what he's going through, he's very aware of the laws that are connected spiritually and the laws connected physically. The same as you need to eat properly and not junk food. Junk in, junk out. That's how it goes. And the Lord says, whatever you sow is what you reap. And so the Lord is showing us these laws that govern, that work in this life. Now, I'm very aware as I bring this to a conclusion, through this falling away, through what is happening now in the earth globally, I'm very aware of the sickness that's happening. Is getting worse and worse. The pollution and the big problems that we face, and most of this is man's problem. It's what he's making. I'm very aware that the powers of darkness want to take this world over. This is why it's, I've said all along, it's Masonic, it's Illuminati. They now want to go ahead and take the world over. It's called the New World Order. But they are polluters. They're robbers. They're thieves. Did you know one of the signs of masonry is the skull and crossbones? Well, what do you think that's all about? They rob. They steal. They hate anything that's good, wholesome, godly. They don't like anything like that. They kill, they rob, they steal. And that's what we're seeing now in the world happening. And it's happening through these big techs, through these oligarchs, the cabal, these very powerful people. And this is where the enemy, the Antichrist, is going to use all of this to come forth as this leader. We've said this over and over again, but they are polluters, polluting. And so we wrestle up against all of that. That's trying to physically harm us and so on. And you get to the point, well, what can you eat? They're wanting to genetically engineer all our food and everything. Well, praise God, we walk by faith and not by sight. And when you pray over your food and blessing over your food, God changes that food. And whatever's in that food, that will be blessed to your bodies. And you can pick up any deadly thing and it will not harm you. They are the promises of God's word. Now, of course, I will always look for organic or things that are homegrown. Of course one does. But the point is we have to believe that God preserves and protects us. Because this world is deadly now. You cannot trust anything, anyone. The only one you can trust is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. Trust me, this is how bad it's getting. And you have got to learn to rest in faith, to rest in the promises of God's word that He's made for us. You will not be able to rest in this if you've got fear and confusion working in your mind and heart. And that's why the enemy tries to work with this, to stop us entering into this rest that we have by faith. Through God's promises and His words. Why do you think he tries to attack with fear? It's his number one weapon. To stop the overcomers coming forth. And everything is so restless these days now. Such a restlessness. In people, in families, in lives, striving, fear. You know it all. It's in your family. It can be in your marriage, with your children, and so on. Well, God isn't working that way, brothers and sisters. He's working completely the opposite. We have such a hope, such a future ahead of us. That eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for us. Oh, we need to get a bigger revelation and understanding of Almighty God and what He's doing in our lives and in the church and with the overcomers. Well, let's end with two scriptures. Let's turn to Psalm 37. You know these very well. Psalm 37 and verse 7. 37 verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger or anxiety, stress. Forsake that wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. There we are, brothers and sisters. You recite that to yourself when you feel you're getting stressed, losing that peace, that rest. He says, just wait patiently. God will work it. He'll work it out. Doesn't need you interfering, getting in the way. He will do it to maintain that rest that you need in Christ. And finally, Psalm 40 and verse 1. Psalm 40 and verse 1. Wait patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my steps and puts a new song. So he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He's waiting because that rest is needful in his life. And he brought me out of that horrible pit experience, as though the hell was engulfing me. Ever experienced that? Of course you have. He set my feet upon a rock. What rock? The rock of Jesus Christ. The rock of his church. He's the foundation. And that's where he set our feet. In order that Christ's power is for my rest. We have to draw and experience his power, his rest in our lives 24/7. And then we are going to be able to not only go that extra mile, but to be those overcomers and not to be affected by what is happening, what we are seeing, what is going on around us, the news, which seems to get worse and worse. We're not affected by it because our eyes are always looking to the one who is seated on the throne and who has the final say. Heavenly Father, thank you again for speaking to us, helping us, encouraging us and admonishing us. Lord, may we enter into this experience of Christ's power for my rest. Father, whatever this takes, Lord, just work this within our lives, we ask now, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Jesus, I'll find secure.